Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to the Vecima Networks fourth quarter and year-end fiscal 2017 results conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and John Hanna, CFO. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the fourth quarter and year-end fiscal 2017 results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's fourth quarter and year-end fiscal 2017 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at vecima.com under the Investors heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's audited annual consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 and 12 months ended June 30, 2017, which is available on SEDAR or www.vecima.com. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements other than statements of historical fact are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs, and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility, and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance, as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form, dated September 25, 2017, a copy of which will be available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in these earnings calls are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Fiscal 2017 was a year of major development for Vecima. We made excellent progress on our new Entra family ecosystem as we prepare for the upcoming industry shift to DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture. We continue to evolve our legacy product lines in response to customer needs. And, consistent with our strategy to monetize non-core assets, we completed the divestiture of our Yearlink business, both in BC and Saskatchewan. We sold those for collective proceeds of $30.2 million. Financially, we achieved our highest ever year-end cash balance of $89.2 million, due in part to the successful sale of Yearlink. We also met our guidance for fiscal 2017, achieving revenues of $71.5 million, a gross margin of 52%, and adjusted EBITDA of $20.3 million. These results are particularly significant given that a customer took delivery of their new DVAP upgrade licenses in Q1 fiscal 2018 rather than in Q4 as we had anticipated. We were able to overcome this customer delay with stronger than expected sales of legacy products. Looking at how our products performed, we achieved Terrace family sales of $29 million with strong sales through the first half. However, sales slowed in the second half as some of our customers neared completion of their digital network conversions. The merger of two large customers also contributed to a temporary slowdown in second half sales. Demand began to pick up again toward the year-end as the integration progressed. Our Terrace QAM products continue to perform very well, achieving sales of $27.1 million as our lead customer purchased both new platforms and upgrades. In the fourth quarter, we rolled out an additional upgrade that adds additional audio functionality to free up further network capacity. As anticipated, we had no DVAP sales in fiscal 2017, following completion of contract purchases by our lead customer the year before. However, we expect rollout of the DVAP software upgrade will contribute to sales in fiscal 2018. This upgrade allows DVAP to support distributed access architecture. Turning to our telematics segment, sales more than doubled to $5.4 million in fiscal 2017. This reflects the positive impact of the Contigo business, which was part of our operations for 12 months in fiscal 2017 compared to 4 months in 2016. The Contigo business has transformed the segment into a contributor of recurring revenue and earnings consistent with Vecima's model. Overall, our product performance in fiscal 2017 provided solid support for the business as we invested in new technologies and prepared for the industry transition to DOCSIS 3.1 distributed access architecture. I'll talk more about that major transition and some recent developments in just a few minutes, but first I'll ask John to review our fourth quarter results with you. John?
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen the news release and financial statements for the fiscal 2017 fourth quarter and year-end that are posted on Vecima's website. I will present the relevant fourth quarter numbers in discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. I'll start with consolidated sales. For the 3 months ended June 30, 2017, we achieved sales of $14.6 million. That was 33% lower year over year and 7% below what we achieved in Q3 fiscal 2017. In the video and broadband solutions segment, we generated fourth quarter sales of $13.5 million, which compares to $20.5 million a year ago and $14.3 million in Q3 fiscal 2017. I would point out the $20.5 million in the prior year quarter included $7.5 million in digital video access platform sales on the closeout of a contract commitment. Fourth quarter Terrace family sales of $6.4 million decreased 37% year over year. As Sumit discussed, this reflects lower demand as some customers neared the end of their digital network conversions. It also reflects some carryover impact from the third quarter merger of two large Tier 1 operators. On a sequential quarterly basis, fourth quarter Terrace family sales increased 31% compared to the third quarter, with the merged customer resuming ordering activity as the quarter progressed. Terrace QAM sales of $5.7 million increased 194% compared to a year ago, reflecting a stronger year overall for new platform sales and the addition of upgrade sales. On a sequential quarterly basis, fourth quarter Terrace QAM sales were lower than in Q3. This reflects the expected decline in second half volumes as the lead customer drew down inventory. In Q4 this year, we had anticipated but did not generate DVAP upgrade sales. As Sumit noted, we have now completed a software upgrade that prepares this platform for distributed access architecture. Subsequent to the year end, we received customer approval. The delay merely reflects a slight shift in the timing of completion. Nothing has changed with respect to the customer's plans. Turning to our telematics segment, sales in the fourth quarter decreased $0.2 million both year over year and quarter over quarter. The reduction in Q4 sales reflects an adjustment made to defer and amortize installation fees over the life of associated contracts. Had the adjustment in the period not been made, Q4 fiscal 17 sales would have been comparable to both the prior quarter and the prior year quarter. Subscriber numbers actually increased slightly from Q3 to Q4. Our consolidated gross margin for the fourth quarter was 51%, which compares to 55% last year and 52% in Q3 of this year. The change in gross margin reflects lower sales and a weakening in the U.S. dollar relative to the Canadian dollar, and in the comparison to prior year also includes the impact of some product mix. R&D expenses increased to $3.1 million, or 21% of sales, compared to $3.0 million, or 13% of sales last year. As always, I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until products are in commercial production. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the fourth quarter increased to $5.7 million, or 39% of sales, from $5.1 million, or 23% of sales a year ago, and up slightly from $5.3 million in Q3 of this year. This increase reflects the ramp-up of investment to support the launch of new products, including our new Entra platform and related products. Turning to fourth quarter sales and marketing expenses, these remain flat at $1.4 million both year-over-year and quarter-over-quarter. G&A expenses increased to $2.5 million from $2.1 million in the same period last year and $2.3 million in Q3 this year. The Q4 increase over last year reflects lower overheads applied to cost of sales and inventory due to lower production levels in the period. During Q4, we undertook a restructuring in operations in an effort to match our staffing levels with production requirements. We recorded a restructuring charge of almost $1 million in the period associated with those changes. Lower revenue, the impact of increased investment into our business during a transition year, and the restructuring charges resulted in a fourth quarter operating loss of $0.7 million. This compares to operating income of $5.0 million last year. On a sequential quarterly basis, operating income decreased by $2.2 million compared to Q3. Fourth quarter adjusted EBITDA of $2.4 million compares to $7.7 million last year, and reflects the lower gross profit and higher operating costs during the current period. Looking at bottom line results for the fourth quarter, we reported a net loss of $0.1 million, or 1 cent per share, which compares to net income of $3.4 million, or 15 cents per share in Q4 last year. This primarily reflects the weaker operating performance during our transition. Adjusting our earnings for gains or losses, impairments, and restructuring charges, adjusted net income was $0.8 million and resulted in adjusted earnings per share of 3 cents per share. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the fourth quarter with cash and short-term investments of $89.2 million. Working capital was strong at $110.5 million. Finally, cash flow from continuing operations, excluding non-cash working capital changes, was $1.6 million in the fourth quarter. Overall, our results were largely consistent with our expectations for the fiscal 2017 transition year, and we are moving forward in a very strong financial position. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, John. As we turn our focus to fiscal 2018, our attention is squarely on the technical revolution taking place in the North American cable industry with the shift to DOCSIS 3.1 DAA architecture. I can't overstate the significance of this transition. The new standard is designed to support consumer demand for gigabit class internet speeds and IP video across multiple devices. It will do this by unlocking gigabit broadband speeds over existing coaxial cables without the added infrastructure cost of a wholesale network rebuild to fiber. These solutions are essential for the cable industry's continued competitiveness, but they require a fundamental change in network architecture. The Entra platform we're developing will support our customers in making this shift. We currently have three products in development that reach broadly into different segments of the addressable market. The first is the Entra Access Switch, which we debuted in the third quarter at AngaCom 2017. It extends the capacity of networks with insufficient fibers while minimizing the use of expensive long-haul digital optics. Our second product is the Enter Remote PHY access node, which distributes a layer of processing to the node. This moves the cable network architecture away from costly analog optics to commodity Ethernet optics. It also reduces hub space requirements and provides scalable multi-gigabit broadband access. Our third product is the Enter MACPHY access node, which moves even more processing to the edge to deliver a more cost-effective and space-efficient solution. It also enables control and management of the system through an off-site data center. We're making excellent progress in all three products. During the third quarter, we shipped our first Entra distributed access node for customer lab testing. We also conducted initial interoperability verification at an industry event. Most recently, our Entra Remote PHY access node has been shortlisted on an RFP with one of the world's largest MSOs. This is a different customer than the one we entered lab trials with in May. We're now one of just four on their shortlist, down from eight world-class competitors that started out initially. It's even more noteworthy if you consider that two vendors that made it through are incumbents, and therefore it was really six vendors vying for two spots on the shortlist. Vesima won a spot. It's a clear recognition of Vesima's capability in the DOCSIS 3.1 space. And we understand that the operator's intent is to give a portion of the business to all four of the shortlisted vendors. This could translate into a significant revenue opportunity for Vesima with the operator, who is indicating that the overall deployment is on the order of hundreds of thousands of units over a 5 to 7 year period. In other words, it's a huge opportunity. What we don't know yet is timing or what share of the opportunity we will ultimately secure. Obviously, we want to be part of the first wave, and we believe we have an advantage in terms of developing a truly interoperable node out of the gate. That said, two of the finalists are incumbents and have a slight timing advantage by starting with their own nodes, talking to their own cores. That is to say, they need not have been interoperable with others. Interoperability is necessary for everyone in the end before scale deployment happens. We'll keep our focus on delivering Vesima's trademark technical excellence and responsiveness as we move ahead with this MSO. In terms of our business outlook for fiscal 2018, we view the year ahead as one where our transition continues. We'll carry on development of our Entra products, and based on current customer feedback, we see field trials commencing in calendar 2018. However, our customers' plans continue to evolve, making timing very difficult to predict. In our legacy product lines, we expect demand for some of our platforms will continue to taper off as market saturation is reached and customers focus on next-generation products and technologies. However, we also see areas of continued strength. As I mentioned, TC600E sales should pick up in the first half as one of our customers accelerates ordering activity. And sales of our DVAP upgrade are just getting underway. Overall, we expect our legacy products will help us secure about 80% of the total US dollar sales we achieved in fiscal 2017. And on top of that, we do expect sales from new products within the year. With that said, given the significant timing fluctuations in flight for the new products, we don't have sufficient visibility to provide sales outlook for this year. And there's potential to build on this. While we are not providing specific guidance for fiscal 2018, given the customer timing uncertainties, we see several areas of opportunity. We've recently commenced a lab trial with a European MSO for the Terrace DVB commercial video gateway. This is a global version of Terrace QAM that provides new opportunities for us in international markets. We see opportunities to supply new network video platforms in support of our key customers' transitions to IP-centric platforms. And, as I noted, we'll be readying our Entra family of products for field trials. Our telematics business also provides growth opportunities, both organically and in terms of M&A opportunities in the segment. Overall, we're looking at a year of continued investment and development as we position Vesima for industry leadership, both in our existing markets and in the emerging DOCSIS 3.1 space. With a cash balance today of nearly $100 million, we're well positioned to pursue our product strategies. We're also able to pursue attractive acquisition opportunities that can provide rapid access to technologies that help drive our growth and success. We're excited about our future and about our ability to continue leading our industry with innovative solutions that address our customers' needs. That concludes our formal comments for today. We would now be happy to take questions. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone to indicate you are in the queue. For participants using a speakerphone, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. There will be a brief moment while we poll for questions. Our first question is from David Kwan, PI Financial.
Hi, guys.
Good morning, David.
So I understand, I guess, the reason in terms of the lack of visibility that you see in the business, at least at this point, in terms of providing, formal guidance for this year. Is it something that if visibility improves, you might decide to change that and provide guidance at some point to this fiscal year?
Yeah, with the way we're seeing the current scenario and the transition playing out, David, it does look like the visibility is going to remain fairly obscure through the course of the year. But certainly, you know, if the situation improves there, we'd be looking to provide updates along the way.
At a higher level, can you talk about your expectations, I guess, for Terrace and Terrace QAM in particular? I know you talked about for Terrace, the TC600E, just a pickup. I assume that's a pickup probably from second half of 17 levels related to the purchase orders from that Tier 1 MSO.
Yeah, I think we've seen some pickup, you know, start to happen in the fourth quarter and some continuation of that in the first half of fiscal 2018. You know, the way I want to frame the overall context is that continuation of Terrace and Terrace QAM sales collectively are driving through that visibility we did provide, that, you know, 80% of sales are our view on all the legacy products combined.
Okay. And so, I guess, at the very least, you expect to see a pickup, I guess, in the first half of this year for Terrace. Not sure, I guess, how that's going to play out in the second half of the year.
Yeah, I think what we've been saying for some time is that we have, you know, the lead MSO that's been a bit of a slow period on new product deployments because of inventory, and we've had these two Tier 1 MSOs otherwise that are doing network conversions. One of which is already completed and has transitioned to network fill-in mode. And then we have one that's been a bit lumpy. You know, we talked about merger activity and whatnot, and that's picked up again. They may be on the order of 50 to 60% complete their conversion. We do expect, you know, as we approach calendar 18, that they may be nearing conclusion of that phase. So that's how we look at the various, you know, intercepts on the Terrace family sales through first half and second half.
And what sense do you have from your lead customer? You know, you talked about the whittling through the inventories that they've had. Is that kind of getting to the point where we could see a more material improvement in the order flow, especially for Terrace QAM?
I think, you know, from our perspective, it may be a bit early to think about, you know, what type of rebound we may or may not see from that lead customer. What we do know is they've been deploying these family of products for upwards of 10 years. So, you know, all through all digital conversion and network fill-in mode, both in hospitality and in apartments for the Terrace family. So, you know, the fact that they're in this mode currently suggests to us that, you know, the saturation effect is potentially underway at that MSO for this phase of the product life cycle. Now, we do see overall that there is a potential for a new market cycle to take place. You know, we have these commercial video platforms that today are you know, deployed in 25,000 plus properties with these Tier 1 MSOs domestically. And we have a situation where the network is evolving to IPTV. So building an IPTV-centric platform and looking at the future of these commercial video premises, which are, you know, generating significant service revenues, that creates an entirely new opportunity looking forward and out.
Okay. For Terrace and Terrace Quan, is it fair to say, I guess, your expectations, it sounds like it's probably maybe flat to slightly down for this year. Don't really expect any improvement in terms of those revenues.
We do have, again, a new platform that fits in the overall segment of Terrace Quam. I would say that's our Terrace DVB that's into its first trial in Europe. And that gives us some opportunity to flow in on the new product side. Current customers, current businesses, current products, our best, you know, view is that 80% sales metric for fiscal 18.
And so when you talk about 80%, that's just Terrace and Terrace Quam. You're not including like DVAP or anything else?
In that sense, we are including the DVAP. We're looking at anything that we had as of the close of fiscal 17 as contributing to that number. And then the incremental products are the Terrace DVB and, of course, Entra.
Okay, that helps. In terms of the Terrace DVB, can you talk about, you know, the timing of that in terms of when you hopefully can get some commercial orders out of that and the revenue opportunity there?
Yeah, so, you know, that trial is underway, and some of these trials can take, you know, in the lab, and we have to go through the usual sequence of lab and field trials. It is within, you know, a smaller geographic footprint of a larger Tier 1 European MSO. And the usual scenario is playing out where they're in the midst of an all-digital conversion. They have commercial properties that are under video service contracts, and they need a solution. So we're going through that process of qualification of that product. I'd like to, you know, envision that, you know, as we approach the end of calendar 17, that we can work towards approval, moving into the field trial, and then look for sales in our second half.
And how much do you expect and kind of the revenue opportunity here for this particular product? Maybe comparing it to Terrace Quam, I guess.
Yeah, so I think one of the things I've tried to highlight with respect to Terrace Quam and domestically is that we really had a very strong deployment with a lead customer there, and they, somewhat unlike other MSOs, really captured the hospitality opportunity and used Terrace Quam as their platform to build that business. So that took hold very, very successfully. Now, as we've said, the international market has its own differences. For one, they haven't done, to a large extent, all digital conversion. There's still a lot of analog flowing in those networks and to those hotels providing services today. So that, you know, makes them a little bit behind in time. And second, you know, it's difficult to say how we look at replicating that hospitality success rate that we kind of had through a single MSO that led the pack domestically. Now, again, with this trial that's happening, we've seen enough to invest in a brand new platform. So there's a very direct need there in that smaller footprint to start. And we think we can leverage it and start to connect these MSOs in Europe with the hospitality model that was so successful for the domestic MSO. So, you know, all of that, you know, put together, you know, gives us a sense that the opportunity over a lifetime could be worth north of $20 million.
All right, thanks, Sumit. Moving on to Entra, the distributed access node that you shipped for the lab trials, was that a Mac PHY or a PHY product?
So I've been trying to be mindful that I would talk about that just for competitive reasons. I will say that it was a Mac PHY product, at that point in May. Now what we're seeing in this industry is this these planning cycles as they look, how are we going to go remote PHY, then Mac PHY? Are we going to go Mac PHY first? So that's all at work at this and other MSOs. So that was a Mac PHY product. We may see a transition in that trial to a remote PHY product. We may even be looking at things like convertible nodes. That's all within our kind of our portfolio. So that's what makes it, you know, an important development for us, that we're going to progress and track along with that MSO as their planning matures for what they want to do when.
Perfect. And that second Tier 1 MSO that you've been shortlisted that you're talking about, can you say whether that's a North American Tier 1 or an international Tier 1? And also whether they're a current customer?
Yes, so North American, yes, and current customers, since we have very many current Tier 1 MSOs as customers, yes.
And can you, sorry, I missed part of it. You were kind of talking about, I guess, the revenue opportunity or the number of units that they'd look to be purchasing over a certain period of time. I heard like hundred thousand units. Could you clarify that again?
Yeah, sorry, I did get tripped up about there in my prepared comments. It is on the order of hundreds of thousands of nodes over 5 to 10 years, 5 to 7 years, depending.
Okay, perfect. Has there been any update, commentary, I guess, from potential customers for Entra? You know, you gave that update at the end of July, just talking about field trials in kind of calendar 2018. Have you got any more clarity from them, from these potential customers since then?
I wouldn't say since we made our little release in July updating the market that much has changed. You know, it's still looking like calendar 18 is their sweet spot to get through trials and to start into deployment for distributed access. That's what everyone is telling us today. You know, but as we highlighted, there's a lot of timing uncertainty, and it's a major project. And, you know, we've already seen some movement, I think, you know, that risk remains that timing could float around a bit again.
Okay, perfect. On the restructuring that you, I guess you guys did this past quarter, so was this something that was done, I guess, more on the administrative level? Because I know you guys did one a little while ago on the manufacturing side. So was this just to bring the whole organization in line with kind of current revenue trends?
It was within our operations department once again, so primarily production, you know, associated management structure as well, but again, primarily production staffing. And, you know, it was driven by a clear recognition that we had an opportunity to optimize our manpower there while still being in a very good spot for build-up of Entra.
Sure. So was this included in the cost of goods then, Simon or John?
It would have
in the quarter. It's under the restructuring line that's shown within overall OpEx.
But I guess there was roughly about a 50 headcount reduction. Was that
right. Mostly
on the manufacturing side? So
I see. Yeah. You would the substantial amount of that would have ended up in cost of sales. Yep.
Okay, and cost of sales. So it's something where other things being equal, your gross margins could benefit a bit from this. And
yes.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Not that fine.
Yeah. There's been a bit of a drag on the margin as a result of a little excess capacity, and now this is trying to rectify that. So that's correct.
Okay, perfect. One last question, just on kind of capital allocation. Are you guys still kind of focusing on M&A here, or using the cash on the balance sheet for M&A and organic growth versus, you know, a higher dividend or special dividend or buybacks?
Yeah, that's our focus, absolutely, development and M&A.
Can you talk about what you're seeing out there and, you know, whether you're focusing more on the kind of core cable video business versus the telematics side?
Sure, and one of the things we've been talking about for some time is that in cable industry, you know, we've seen this consolidation happen in prior years, meaning that there's some very large vendors that are somewhat out of scope for us to look at. But on the other hand, you know, we are seeing through the emergence of new technology like IPTV, like DOCSIS, which we are in, that there are other players coming to bear there that could be interesting. So, you know, we are very active. We spend a fair amount of time on it these days. And, you know, we hope to be able to make some progress this year. Telematics, once again, also some opportunity out there in the sense that it's somewhat more of a pre-consolidation industry. We have a lot of smaller players that, you know, we could achieve some good synergy accretion and build our scale, and that could work for us. So both remain in focus. You know, of course, cable is the core market segment for us today, so the scale may be larger there if something we may do. And then telematics, there's some smaller entities that we can collect.
Is the bias towards the core legacy cable business versus telematics in terms of where you're spending
your... I would say that, you know, maybe bias is somewhat strong. The priority, maybe, is a better word for it for us.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
There are no additional questioners in the queue at this time. If you would like to ask a question, simply press star and one. Our next question comes from Ole Piegel, a private investor. You may go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Ole.
Hi, Ole.
I wonder, can you give some, what is the total market potential of DOCSIS 3.1?
Yeah, so, you know, that segment for us, I've talked about it being, you know, this very large market historically, and that's always been there for 30 years, you know, north of $1 billion in total annually. We're focused on a 30% segment. That's kind of our commercial vertical, which is where today's products are successful for us. And we want to take, you know, a 50% share of that vertical. So, you know, that translates into $150 million annual as being our target in the overall DOCSIS space as we build up.
Okay, great. As the present quarter is practically over, can you give some guidance on whether this last quarter was the low point for the rest of the year, or is that
That's something we're generally unable to do only at this time until we can get towards, you know, reporting in November for Q1. You know, I think our overall picture for the fiscal year is the way to look at things, and we've talked a little bit about tariffs and whatnot in the first half, and that's our best, you know, indication of how things are looking.
Okay. Now, you're talking about Europe, trying to get into that market. Would your prices be in the U.S. dollars, Canadian, or euro that you actually...
Yeah, I think there's some of that that might develop over time, but so far, you know, it's looking like the market is comfortable with U.S. dollar-based pricing, and that's the way, you know, the industry has evolved there, at least in the context of this first MSO we are working with.
Okay. Well, thanks.
Thanks, Ole.
Thanks, Ole.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no more questions at this time. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.